Hello to all Earth citizens and welcome to my Conscious Coaching Podcast. This is Dr. Dhyanush, founder and creative director of MCCG. My Conscious Coaching Group is a non-political, non-religious 501c3 coaching nonprofit with initiatives in healthcare, leadership, and education with focus on emotional and spiritual intelligence. Our vision is to raise self and global awareness for a conscious mind through education and application of EQ and SQ, and our mission is to connect, collaborate, and partner with hospitals, academics, colleges, and medical schools and organizations to embrace growth, self-healing, and self-coaching to achieve well-being and peak performance of individuals and the team as a one connected whole. Today, I have a special guest and friend, Dr. Eben Alexander. I know Eben since 2008, 2 years after my own NDE, when I met him in one of IANS International Association of Near-Death Studies conference. Dr. Alexander was an academic neurosurgeon for over 25 years, including 15 years at Brigham Women's and Children's Hospital and Harvard Medical School in Boston. His scientific belief system was altered by his 2008 Transcendental Near-Death Experience, NDE, an odyssey into another realm during a week-long coma. His medical case and recovery were validated in the peer-reviewed Journal of Nervous and Mental Disease. Eben is a pioneering scientist and modern thought leader in the emerging science that acknowledges the primacy of consciousness in the universe. He speaks around the world about the role that consciousness plays in wellness, healing, and recovery. He is featured in more than 400 media interviews and TV shows, and also was named to the prestigious Watkins Mind-Body Spirit list of the 100 most spiritually influential living people repeatedly. Dr. Alexander is author of the New York Times #1 bestsellers Proof of Heaven, The Map of Heaven, and co-author of Living in a Mindful Universe, which all of them are available in more than 40 countries. I'm so honored to have him today to talk about love, NDE, consciousness, and spirituality in healthcare, and finally, the science of the woo-woo. Hello and welcome to MCCG Podcast, Eben.
Well, Kanush, thank you so much for having me on. It's great to be with you today.
It's wonderful to have you also. Let me know, what else do you like the world to know about you, except your story, of course?
Well, I think it's important to know that I'm a scientist. I'm have always been a very kind of rigorous, skeptical, scientific mind. And I just happened to have an experience back in November 2008. A week in coma due to a severe case of gram-negative bacterial meningoencephalitis that should have killed me. But by all, some beautiful miracle of the kind of spiritual healing, I was able to come back to this world and over 2 months benefited from a complete recovery. What I witnessed during my journey completely defied what modern neuroscience says should be possible. And that's because of all that documented damage to my brain based on neurologic exams, CT and MRI scans, lab values, et cetera. And that case reports in the Journal of Nervous and Mental Disease, September of 2018, makes it very clear that that brain was in no shape to have any kind of dream or hallucination, much less the most profound, life-changing, detailed, and memorable set of events of my entire life. All at a time when my brain was demonstrably offline. And to me, as a neuroscientist, that has completely shifted my worldview. And it forced me to realize that consciousness is fundamental in the universe, a position commonly referred to as idealism. But when you get into the real nuts and bolts of it, especially with near-death experiences and all of their proof, that is 90% of near-death experiencers who come back believing in an infinitely powerful, loving God force at the core of the universe, you realize that it's not just a simple idealism, but probably a more appropriate term would be panentheism, this notion of that God force being within all sentient beings and throughout the cosmos. And that's really where I would say the science is headed. And the good news for all of us is it actually unites science and spirituality. Because to continue pretending that consciousness is not fundamental and doesn't serve to bind us all together through that binding force of love that is so obvious to near-death experiencers, is to, really deny our birthright and our heritage. This is a very natural and organic evolution of humanity that I see happening now, because the evidence is very strong that the conventional materialist model that brain creates consciousness and existence is birth to death only, the evidence is overwhelming that that is not true. The scientific support for the reality of the afterlife and of reincarnation is very strong. All you have to do is, start looking for it. And that's what I've done with Proof of Heaven, is try to guide people to that information, but also especially not only the book Map of Heaven, which is a statement about how common these experiences are, but also Living in a Mindful Universe, which I think is the most important book that I've written. That was with my life partner, Karen Newell. But Living in a Mindful Universe goes a long way towards elaborating the current science of consciousness as it promotes the primacy of mind and the connection that we all share.
So interesting. And I remember that you mentioned that it's, your NDE was about the 1 week long in coma, and mine was less than 2 minutes. So, and I didn't have any understanding of the passage of time. I was just curious, did you have any understanding of the passage of time when you had your NDE?
Well, I would say when I came back to this world, I felt like I'd been gone for months or years.
Wow.
And also when I woke up from the coma, after 7 days in coma on a ventilator and expected to die at the end of that week, down to a 2% chance of survival with no chance of recovery, my brain was really wrecked. I did not even recognize loved ones at the bedside, my mother, my sisters, my sons, my former spouse. I had no idea who these beings were. All I knew is this incredibly rich, profound spiritual experience that I'd had that, as I said, completely violated all the tenets of neuroscience. If you want to believe that the brain creates consciousness. Yeah, it was absolutely an amazing thing to go through, but it's shifted my whole worldview, and I now work with scientists around the world to help explain these kind of extraordinary phenomena.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely for me, it was a kind of rebirth. You know, it's just I was being given another life, but I remembered the past person, but I was a new person. And I completely understand, you know, where you're coming from. Evan, just tell us, what's to your opinion the importance of the spiritual health, and how does that apply to our own healthcare and our even healthcare system and hospitals?
Well, I think it's important to point out that some of the most extraordinary modern examples of miraculous healing in a medical environment with sophisticated medical analysis are in the setting of near-death experiences. And in fact, I know that my own case report on my medical records that came out in September 2018, Journal of Nervous and Mental Disease, by three doctors fascinated by my recovery but not involved in my care, that they were challenged by the peer reviewers. The peer reviewers said, this case is absurd. You know, we don't see anything like this in the medical literature. Somebody this sick from bacterial meningitis actually making a full recovery. How do you explain it? And the three doctors who wrote the case up said it's because he had a near-death experience. And the peer reviewers of this scientific journal said, okay, that sounds like a very reasonable explanation. And the reason is they knew of other cases of similar kind of miraculous healing in the setting of a near-death experience. Two common examples that I discuss, Anita Morjani, who wrote the book Dying to Be Me, had a profound near-death experience in which she found the reason that she had the cancer in the first place, she had a lymphoma, was because of her fear of cancer. And she encountered her father's soul on her journey. He had passed over years earlier. And he basically said, if you choose to go back, the cancer will disappear. And she did that. She came back to this world after a profound spiritual experience, and the cancer went away. It disappeared like that. Another story is Dr. Mary C. Neal, orthopedic surgeon who was in a kayaking accident in Chile back in the late 1990s, in which her kayak was jammed under boulders deep underwater. And she was underwater for more than 30 minutes. Her legs broken. When they brought her to the surface, she was dead. They resuscitated her, and she ended up making a complete recovery, going back to orthopedic surgery, but also giving beautiful presentations about her spiritual experience. I've presented with her several times, and I think both of these are beautiful examples of that loving power of spiritual healing that happens when we encounter those deeper aspects of self and that primordial mind. And also very important to point out, Anita Murjani is Hindu, and she had a beautiful, loving near-death experience. Mary C. Neal was Christian, and her NDE did involve the presence of Jesus Christ. But the point I'm making here is far more important than one's religious beliefs is an acceptance of a loving God, that this is all about love, the binding force of love, that we're here to show kindness, compassion, and take care of each other. Those are the deepest and most profound lessons that come from near-death experiences. But that has a lot to do with all the concepts of spiritual healing and wholeness that come through bringing love into our lives, love with others, sharing love of others, doing our best to kind of eliminate the false sense of separation that comes with modern materialist thinking and adopt a deeper lesson from near-death experiences, which is really one of unity of soul, that we're all in this together. We're really here to share love, as the prophets have told us. And this is what NDEers bring back in droves. That's the big message. And sadly, our kind of materialist-focused world has lost sight of some of this. And that's why I think near-death experiences and spiritual healing are so important to emphasize. We have the power to go within, the power of centering prayer and meditation. And I use, for example, sacred acoustics. People can go to sacred acoustics to learn more about this binaural beat brainwave entrainment, but I use it on a daily basis to return to the territory of my NDE. I've been using sacred acoustics for more than 11 years now. And it's, for me, been a very important part of maintaining my kind of healing and wholeness and health. I've come to realize that all physical, mental, and emotional healing is ultimately spiritual. And when I say spiritual, I don't mean religious. In fact, most NDEers come back more spiritual, but less religious. And it just depends on their religious background. But the reality is within spirituality, and the key concepts for spirituality are just a notion of connectedness through mind, that we really share the mind of the universe, and also a sense of shared purpose and meaning. That's all it takes to define spirituality. But once you kind of do that and kind of start to explore your own consciousness, spend time regularly meditating or in prayer, you start to realize this connection to something much bigger. And that's where things like spiritual healing and wholeness through the binding force of love can rescue all of us from the toxicity and damage of that false sense of separation in the modern materialistic world, and help to awaken this world to a far richer and grander truth of spiritual reality, where we realize all of our connections and this deep sense of purpose, becoming more one with the God force, and that this sharing of love can be very healing and bring wholeness into our lives.
Yeah, I completely agree. So we both have the same experience with that living, loving, you know, kind of love. And I call it the love that is like a bird who can fly with two wings, compassion and wisdom. And if one of the wings are broken, the bird cannot fly. So and applying that kind of love, you know, in our own healthcare and in our healthcare system and in our leadership, you know, strategies, I think it's just going to make a difference in many ways that we have no idea. And you talked about the consciousness. We both had this experience that we all are one consciousness. I had that experience of oneness, that I am part of one bigger whole. But just, I mean, in a plain language, what do you call that? What is it, the consciousness on a non-local consciousness, to your experience? And what do you think the brain role is in this consciousness?
Well, consciousness for me is very simply awareness of existence. You know, what it is like to be something, like what it is like to be Evan Alexander is my consciousness. And in fact, what I've come to realize, especially emphasizing my near-death experience, is that nobody has ever witnessed anything other than the inside of their own consciousness. So this is not just about, you know, viewing the physical world as existing out there, ticking along independently of us, because quantum physics very strongly teaches us that there is no objective physical world out there, that in fact, none of it exists independently of the observing mind. So consciousness is really the thing that exists. Nothing would exist without consciousness. And this is a kind of a deep lesson of quantum physics. It's taken more than a century for many in the scientific community to kind of get where it's taking us. But I say it's very important that the Nobel Prize in physics in 2022 was given to three scientists, John Clauser of the U.S., Alain Aspect of France, and Anton Zeilinger of Austria, who all did instrumental work in quantum physics to show the truth and the concrete reality of entanglement. Entanglement is this very profound and yet absolutely real phenomenon of connection between various elements of the subatomic world that makes up all of the physical world around us, that show that there are levels of connection between all these particles that go way beyond the limitations of how we see space-time and what is known in physics as local realism. Local is just the idea that all of physics is about particles interacting with each other locally. And realism is the notion that there's an objective physical world out there that exists independently of us. And what quantum physics and especially entanglement show in a very clear fashion is that is not true. That material world doesn't exist as such. There are deeper layers of interconnection that I would say are absolutely due to the mental layer of the universe that allow for all of the phenomena of our existence to emerge. But to pretend that it's, you know, the physics that Einstein wanted to prove of local realism, you know, the way time and space interacted, that he wasn't going at all far enough. Einstein did not like entanglement or spooky action in the distance, as he called it. And yet all the experiments done since the early 80s by John Clauser and many others, you know, Aspect, Zeilinger, et cetera, all those experiments confirm over and over again and repeatedly and stronger fashion that mind is fundamental, that we're connected through mind. There really is one mind, as Erwin Schrödinger, Wolfgang Pauli, Max Planck, many other quantum physicists noted this, that consciousness seemed to be fundamental in the universe. And there are thousands of quotes from these rigorous scientists about that, the primacy of consciousness. And yet it's really taken, I would say, further work along the hard problem of consciousness in neuroscience, which basically is an impossible problem for materialism to try and explain consciousness emerging from the physical brain. There are problems in philosophy of mind, especially the binding problem, the apparent unity of consciousness within an individual that really defies the materialist model of multiple neuronal populations contributing to our vision of reality. But consciousness is much more unified than that. And also all that evidence for non-local consciousness out of parapsychology, things like telepathy. If you read Guillaume Playfair's book on twin telepathy, where he points out that 35% of identical twins have very strong telepathic experiences. And then, of course, the science of remote viewing, another example of non-local consciousness. Many features that we discuss in Living in a Mindful Universe, we go to great lengths to elaborate this kind of consilience of all the different lines of evidence from a scientific and philosophical perspective and from human experience that all support the primacy and unity of consciousness that we all share. And that consciousness is the same consciousness that originated the creation of this physical universe. None of the physical stuff exists independently of the mental layer of the universe.
Yeah, so mind-blowing even. So it's just so interesting. You talked about the remote viewing and that sense of knowing that for me, I mean, personally has been so strengthened since my experience. And I'm seeing that in so many people with the NDEs or SDE or a spiritual transformative experience, that sense of the intuition and the connection to what is happening has become stronger and more available to them. But just assuming that we are convincing all our, scientific community and healthcare professional to the fact, that the spirituality and the spirituality in healthcare is really important. So how does the knowledge of the afterlife overall can help us to live our own life right here and right now?
Well, I think it makes all the difference in the world. I can't imagine if I had gone on with the rest of my life, never had that coma, continued thinking brain creates consciousness, continued thinking I was birth to death and nothing more, continued thinking, as materialist science will teach you, that consciousness is an illusion of chemical reactions and electron fluxes in the brain of particles that are just following the laws of physics, chemistry, and biology. In fact, that teaching of before coma, my conventional neuroscientific knowledge would tell you we don't even have free will. And all that is completely wrong. I cannot imagine going through that my life, continuing to harbor those bleak and paltry fiction of materialist thought and not realizing the grander sense of who I am. A being that has been here in previous lifetimes, a being that is growing towards that oneness with the divine over multiple lifetimes, that is in the complete synthesis with my fellow beings in terms of manifesting kind of the free will of the advances of human spirit to guide us into the world of our highest and loftiest dreams. I mean, the difference between materialism and its false sense of separation and that deadly, greed and selfishness and everything that's inherent in that kind of false sense of separation, it's leading to the death of this world. That's where our modern climate change problems, the greed of corporations, our addiction to fossil fuels and, not pursuing sustainable energy, et cetera. Every bit of that is from the false sense of separation that materialist science has offered us. And it's a dead end. It's, it is to be avoided at all costs. And that's why I am such a vocal proponent of this emerging science of consciousness, which is all about oneness and about the binding force of love and about kindness and compassion for others, about being better stewards of this planet and not destroying all life on Earth through our stupid ignorance, burning carbon fuels and increasing carbon dioxide. We're going to turn this planet into a living hell. And it's time to stop every bit of that. I mean, yeah. Scientists back in 1912, realized that burning carbon fuels would ultimately heat up this earth. I remember when I was in scientific training in the 70s and 80s, we all thought that climate change was real, but that it was, a problem for our children and grandchildren. Well, now we've gotten to a point where through our ignorance and kind of mindlessness, it's worse each year. Climate change, you read the reports from the UN, talks about how dire the situation is. And then a year or two later, the next report is much worse than the last one. It just reveals our complete numb ignorance about this and why we need to wake up and start taking a better responsibility for this planet. And that is the awakening I am talking about, the awakening of the unity of mind, of shared sense of purpose and meaning, of taking care of each other, being better stewards for the planet. Every bit of that is a result of the awakening to the afterlife, to reincarnation, eternity of soul, and this much bigger kind of nature that we're here. And we will therefore reap the benefits of whatever planet our actions today generate, 50 and 100 years from now. When you read all the literature on reincarnation, and for people who need to find that, go to uvadops.org, University of Virginia Division of Perceptual Studies, academic scientists who have studied reincarnation, 2,700 plus cases of past life memories in children suggestive of reincarnation. And 1,700 of those cases are solved. So once we start learning more about all this, you realize there's some little part of you that's going to be coming back in the next lifetime that's going to have to reap, you know, what we have sown with the seeds of, for example, addiction to fossil fuels and all of that. So it makes all the difference in the world to wake up to the reality of the afterlife, reincarnation, continuity of our soul's existence, and how we have a much deeper and richer purpose of being here than just the kind of selfish and greedy stuff that we might deal from an ego perspective, but a realization that we actually have to take responsibility to help this planet survive, to help all of our fellow beings survive, and to help our children, grandchildren, and all their descendants to thrive in the world that we gift them with.
Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to mention that, and you brought it up, that at the end of the day, we want to see and know what kind of a world we are leaving behind for our children and grandchildren, you know, and the people after us, and what's going to be our legacy. And definitely we are one mind and one soul and soul particles. And just get to the conclusion that one person really can make a difference in our world. And you are a living example of it with all the work, you know, and the awareness that you have been raised, you know, in our community and globally. And we are getting toward the end of time, you know, and just don't want to say goodbye, but just want to ask you that for the people who are listening, if you just want to recommend them one thing to do right now to improve their lives and others, what that would be that recommendation?
I think the most important thing is to take a little time out every day to go within, centering prayer, meditation. If you need a tool for powerful meditation, just go to sacredacoustics.com, download some binaural beat, the brainwave entrainment from them, and listen through headphones. But the important thing is to turn off that little ego voice. So many of us think we identify with a voice in our heads. We say that's who we are. But I love how Michael Singer in his book, The Untethered Soul, he calls that voice in your head your annoying roommate. And that is a very real fact. We are all much more than just that little ego mind, that ego voice. Yeah. And by meditation and centering prayer, one can come to identify with that and come to realize that they are far grander beings than just one little petty little ego here demanding its own little selfish, greedy vision of self. But by expanding ourselves and seeing the higher good and being here to help each other and show that binding force of love, all of us can grow tremendously by taking that time out for centering prayer and meditation, trying to bring love and healing into this world. All of that ultimately influences the way we interact with self and others, with the universe at large, that help us to grow into these much grander spiritual beings that have tremendous power over kind of the will of the universe. I mean, we share the mind of the universe, and that's where the more we explore this potential through going within, through centering prayer and meditation, the more we can then start to live these lives more fully with our actions in the waking, sleeping activity in the material realm to help bring this planet forward and to help all of our fellow beings come into alignment with that beautiful sense of deeply spiritual healing and wholeness that we can come to through this kind of knowledge, through this kind of awakening.
Yeah, I definitely take that advice, you know, into my heart, you know, especially that although we need our ego for survival, but we don't want to let the annoying roommate, as you mentioned, to be behind the driving wheel. So we put it on the back seat or the passenger seat just to have right. A better lives, you know. And talking about the meditation, I mean, this is a good space that I mentioned that next week we are going to interview your partner, Karen Newells, you know, and yeah, so that would be a wonderful, you know, space to share about the meditation and the sound meditation. I'm the fan of the music and sounds myself. I practice those in my coaching practice as well. So we are looking forward to have her as well and hear from her wisdom. And just getting close, really, really to the end, just want to say goodbye to our audience. But before that, how can people know more about your website, you know, and your books? And I know you and I, we both are talking in the IANS upcoming conference in a Labor Day weekend, coming Labor Day weekend. So just if you want to tell us a little bit about that and how they can find you more and learn more about you.
Yes, well, you can start with the website, ebenalexander.com. I especially recommend the blog postings, the recommended reading list there, which has more than 100 books and chapters and scientific papers, and they're all categorized. So that recommended reading, very important. Also, the FAQ page answers a lot of questions that people often have about my story. So ebenalexander.com, the blog postings are an excellent resource. You'll also find Inner Sanctum Center is kind of linked there. InnerSanctumCenter.com is a site with a lot of resources that Karen and I have put together over time. So I highly suggest people go there. Interviews with many of the people, the world thought leaders on consciousness that we did not get to see during the pandemic, but we interviewed them every 2 weeks. We would do that all through the pandemic. And that's all available for free to the viewing public. Also, highly recommend sacredacoustics.com, and just encourage people to stay in touch through ebenalexander.com. There are beautiful ways there to connect with me and to leave stories, experiences, etc. But I think those are the main ways that people can kind of keep up with us. Of course, the books Proof of Heaven, The Map of Heaven, and especially Living in a Mindful Universe, which has been highly endorsed by some of the leading thought leaders in the scientific study of consciousness. And of course, Proof of Heaven is now out in a 10th anniversary edition that has 36 additional pages that go far beyond the original book of 2012 and catch people up on all the many things that have been happening in this field over the last decade. So Proof of Heaven, and of course, Living in a Mindful Universe, that book is really our attempt to bring science and spirituality together in a very beautiful and powerful way.
I love that. I've read both of them, and I love the fact that your books are evolving, with ourselves as the time is passing, and is the growth is in every way and in every aspect. Thank you so much, Ben, for all you are doing for the world and all the difference that you are making. And I'm really grateful for contributing to our podcast today. Have a wonderful day.
Well, all right, you too, Kianush. Thanks so much for having me on, and look forward to talking again soon.
Same here. See you soon. Goodbye to our listeners, and remember, one podcast at a time. Thank you for being with us for another one. You can visit our website at myconscious.org to learn more about us, or write to us at coach@myconscious.org. And please stay connected by following us on our social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, not to miss our upcoming episodes and events. Love and light from all of us to you. Make it a great day, everyone.